Hello everyone, this is Asclepius with a thrilling story from Lendrick. It is entitled Rise of the Ravagers, Chapter 1. Chapter 1, Child's Play. Forest of Diamond Falls, the Forsaken Vale, Village of High Vale. The elven village was generally peaceful year-round and would sometimes see an influx of trade during the summer months. These months would be one of the few times the elves generally interacted with the outside races, and while their tolerance was fairly thin, these months where their trade was more important than petty differences, the elves would put on a joyous face and wan smiles to keep up the facade. Glyndrell was only a young elfling, only 30 summers old, but he looked and sounded like a human boy the age of 8. During this one particular summer sale day was the day when he first laid eyes on her. Glyndrell had come to the market that day due to the wanderlust gripping him and propelling him there, always towards the jerky stalls first and then his market therapy. Glyndrell loved chewing on jerky, strips of dried venison, salted and mixed with herbs. Coming to the markets was somewhat of a tradition that had begun 2 years prior between Glyndrell and his best friend Alexius. They would meet at the markets when they were on, trade for some jerky, and then wander about, shopping with their eyes for their next knick-knack, or in Glyndrell's case, something to add to his treasure hoard. Glyndrell has been gathering and collecting shiny objects for years, small amounts of money, some silvers and coppers, and this is all added to his treasured stash. This stash is hidden well, and nobody knows about it. Glyndrell was still waiting for Alexius when something strange happened. As Glyndrell was waiting in his usual meeting spot, an image appeared, as though through a hazy vision dream, an image of a beautiful Etrian girl. She was just there. 1 minute, it was a mass of moving bodies and legs, elves, humans, and Glyndrell even thought he spotted an ogre, moved amongst the elven stalls, trading, buying, and selling. Glyndrell was standing there, chewing on some jerky, and wondering what mischief he and Alexius could get up to that afternoon, when she appeared. Standing about the same height as Glyndrell, the elfling female had cascading auburn hair that seemed to capture the sun, reflect it, and shine it directly into Glyndrell's eyes. His mind's eye flinched as though blinded, and Glyndrell caught himself, letting out a little chuckle. It wasn't just her hair, though. It was everything about her. Standing there, as if from an exquisite dream. Yes, the cascading auburn hair, like fire falling from the heavens. The hair fell down around a perfectly shaped Etrian head, framing her smooth-featured face. But those eyes, piercing, sharp green eyes, looking at his very soul. Glyndrell felt all breath leave his body as those eyes peered deep, almost through, looking not only at Glyndrell, but at all his possibilities, looking at his heart, his triumphs, his tragedies, and all that he loved and lost. Glyndrell blinked. She was still there. Her ears were cute, with what looked to be sparkling emerald earrings that caused the light to reflect through them as well, spreading the light across her cheeks and amplifying it up to her eyes, only to project a beam of green light into Glyndrell's direction, mesmerizing him. Glyndrell hadn't realized he had stopped chewing his jerky. She wore simple breeches, a tunic and vest, and if not for her long hair, she would have passed possibly as a male, albeit a very attractive one. Attached to her belt was a small knife and belt pouch, her body lithe and sprightly, and her head was cocked to the side in amusement as she continued to stare at Glyndrell with her mouth half open, showing perfectly white teeth. Why was she staring? It was an amazing sight to behold, and Glyndrell felt his stomach tighten and realized that without knowing, he had actually been holding his breath. Letting out a gasp, followed by some quick panting to calm the unsettled feeling in his stomach, he shook his head, brown hair jangling, and, Had she not just appeared there, he would have thought he was coming down with the pox or some such illness. As it were, he looked again. She was still there. So he hadn't imagined her. Yet now she stood stock still and appeared to be looking directly at him. Time stood still, and Glyndrell did not even register his legs moving, as one moment they were several dozen feet away from one another, and the next they were in front of each other. Who are you? Glyndrell blurted, turning as red as a rutumber, a cross between a cucumber and beetroot.
Hey, well met. My family just moved here. What's your name? She replied.
Her voice was melodious and enchanting. Glyndrell. But my friends call me Glyn, stuttered Glyndrell.
Well then, Glyn it is, replied the Elfling,
as she grabbed one of Glyndrell's arms and tugged him along, away from the market. Taken aback by her sudden forthrightness, Glyndrell stumbled as he attempted to regain his footing, and whilst on the move, managed to get out,
Whoa, hey, slow up there. You haven't even told me your name yet.
Oh, right, sorry, I get carried away. You can call me Slifania, or my friends just call me Slif, you know, like the fairy folk,
Slifania exclaimed, her eyes dancing in the sunlight and a ready smile that was nothing if not infectious.
Okay then, Slif it is, Glyndrell replied, delighted and elated that he had been able to make a friend so easily.
There weren't that many Etrian children about the village, and friends were hard to come by. They raced away from the market into the surrounding forest. The woods were glorious this time of year. With the rains having just finished, everything was fresh and smelled of sweet sun nectar that was released from the willow wood flowers found growing on the large oak trees. The animal fauna was also emanating joy and excitement. Glyndrell could almost feel the forest buzzing, as if possessed by a thousand bees. They ran in no particular direction. The whole forest was their playground. Yet Glyndrell did have particular spots he had picked out as his favourite. The watering hole, the log tumble, great place to play hide and find, and his personal favourite, the Great Diamond Falls, a massive waterfall that cascaded off the mountainous rocks and into a pool of still blue-green water. When the sun shone through the waterfall, it looked as though there were a multitude of diamonds sparkling inside the water, which is where the name comes from, and consequently the forest as well. Glyndrell loved all waterfalls, especially the excitement of looking what's behind them, hidden away from the prying eyes of the cruel world. Behind the great falls was Glyndrell's special spot, a natural cave, worn away from millennia of backsplash. Glyndrell keeps his treasures in there, hidden away, and not even Alexis, his best friend, knows about them. Everyone needed to keep special secrets, even elflings.
So where's this special Great Falls at then? Asked Slifania suddenly.
Glyndrell was taken aback. How could she possibly know about that? Just because he was thinking it? Had he said something out loud and didn't realise? Or could she read his mind? All these questions and more flashed through his head when he struggled for a response, not wanting to discuss it with someone he had only just met, yet unable to deny it, since she had asked him directly. Instead, he chose to deflect the question. How do you know about the Great Falls? I thought you were new here, Glyndrell asked, a question for a question.
I am, but they're special to you. So they're special to me also,
came the reply that made Glyndrell groan inwardly at the thought that there was no getting around her uncanny knowledge of his most special secret place. Well, I know where they are, but only my special friends get to see them. Are you my special friend? I only just met you. So how do I know if I can trust you with such a big secret? Glyndrell replied haughtily, looking sideways and down at Slifania.
You can trust me, Glyn. I'm a good elf,
Slifania replied with a laugh, and Glyndrell found it hard to dispute that. The feelings for this new elfin were growing, and it was hard for Glyndrell to ignore them.
Well, okay, but first you have to pass several trials to prove you are worthy of such knowledge, Glendril said cryptically.
Okay, what's the fur?
Slifania let out a squeak as the ground beneath her gave way and she began to fall. Due to having a hold on Glendril's arm, Glendril was pulled sideways and to the ground as Slifania's body dropped below into what appeared to be a massive hole over a cave or something similar.
Hold on, Glendril grunted through gritted teeth, the grip slipping.
My feet can't touch anything, Glen. It's too high, and I'm slipping,
Slifania exclaimed as her grip on Glendril's right forearm slipped down. Glendril attempted to bring his other arm round to grab hold of her, but it all happened so fast. The grip was lost, and the next thing he knew, she was gone. Slifania let out a scream as she fell, all of 10 foot, before hitting soft dirt and rolling with a grunt. It took a few moments for her to get her bearings, with the sound of Glendril yelling if she was okay from above. There was some diffused light entering what seemed to be an old cave or possibly a shelter. It had been covered with dirt so much that the ceiling became the forest floor. This could be something left from the obsidian fall. Tentatively standing, it didn't appear as if she had broken anything, and aside from the initial shock, appeared uninjured.
It's okay, Glen. I'm okay. It wasn't that far down,
Slifania yelled back up. Walking over to the hole in the roof, she could see Glendril's concerned face peering down as she peered up.
You should come down here too. I'll catch you. This could be an amazing discovery only we two know about, much like your great falls,
Slifania stated, using one hand to cut the glare of the sun down. It seemed as if Glendril considered this, and then the explorer spirit of him took hold, and he shuffled around so his legs came through the hole. Okay, I'm going to bring myself down as much as I can. Be ready, Glen said, lowering himself slowly. Slifania stood to the side in order to catch and balance Glendril when he let go. At his maximum arm extension, he started counting.
What are you doing?
Said Slifania. Mentally preparing myself. I'm going to count to 5, then let go. Okay? Be ready. Glendril started counting. At number 5, he let go and let out a yelp. Slifania caught him as his legs touched dirt, and they both stumbled and fell. Slifania on the bottom, with Glendril lying on top, their faces only inches apart. There was an unspoken, awkward tension in the air. Only for a moment, but they both felt it. Slifania was sure of it. Glendril, a young male Etrian with golden brown locks, deep, piercing, almond-shaped green eyes with a mischievous glint in them. Smooth-featured, and his ears had the cutest curled tips to them she had ever seen in an Etrian.
There you go. Did I pass the first trial? You used me to break your fall. What a good friend I am to you too, already.
The moment passed, and Glendril rolled off. Picking herself up and dusting off her breeches, Slifania glanced around, letting out a low whistle.
Well, this place is, what is this place, Glen? Awfully weird to have this beneath the forest floor.
Slifania wasn't looking at Glendril, so missed the uncomfortable glance he shot her, and instead strained to see how big the cave was. Not sure. Could be from the old ruin excavations, Glendril replied, thankful for the change in topic.
You mean from when the Doetrin invaded?
Slifania worded breathlessly, her eyes widening and mouth opening as she looked on in awestruck wonder. Aye, those pesky dark elves really gave our forefathers a run for their lives, Glendril stated, moving off toward one end of the cave.
How big do you think this is? How far back?
Slifania asked. Not sure. Quite a bit, I would imagine, given the penchant for digging deep and intricate cavern systems.
Can we explore?
Asked Slifania expectantly, excited like a newborn elfin getting their first leaf ride down the river. There's not much light in the day left, How about we keep this a secret between us and meet up here on the morrow at first dawn, replied Glindrell, a sound and serious answer.
Well, okay, genius, but how do we get out?
Slifania answered, taking small delight in the look that passed over Glindrell's face at the cold realization that they may be stuck down here.
Well, how about if I stand on your shoulders, or you stand on mine? Would that give us enough height?
Glindrell has walked back over to where the hole was. The cave much darker now due to the failing light outside, and they could only see a few feet around now.
Well, I'm probably lighter than you, so how about I get on your shoulders?
Okay, we'll give it a go. If you manage to get out, promise me you won't leave me down here, Glindrell exclaimed with consternation.
Now why would I leave my newfound friend stranded in a hole the first day I meet him? That wouldn't be very friendly now, would it?
Perhaps on the second day, Slifania mocked. That's not funny now, up you get.
Glindrell crouched down to allow Slifania to climb onto his back, and then awkwardly, Glindrell stood, balancing her on his shoulders. Standing on his shoulders, rocking slightly, Slifania reached out with her arms and hand to their fullest extension. Almost there. Brushing grass from the edge of the deadfall, clumps of grass and dirt came free, but nothing allowed purchase and caused them both to tumble down.
Gah! It's hopeless. We are stuck here.
Despair crept into Glindrell's voice, causing it to break slightly. Tears started to well up. All Glindrell wanted to do was get out and get home to his warm treehouse.
Don't give up. We're almost there. I just need a little more height and I could pull myself out. Let's give it another go.
Her infectious enthusiasm was somewhat contagious, and with a grunt, Glindrell got back into position to have her climb back onto his back. Once balanced, Slifania stretched out her arms again and yelled,
I need a bit more height. Can you lift me?
Glindrell grabbed her feet, closed his eyes, and lifted her slowly above his head. The higher he went, the higher she could reach, and when he had her almost at full arm's length, heard a squeal of delight, and suddenly her feet were ripped away from his hands as she pulled herself completely out of the hole.
We did it!
Slifania exclaimed with abject delight. Taking a breath and looking about, she was able to locate some vines that were easy enough to tie together and lower down for Glindrell to use as a makeshift rope. Soon after, they were both laying on the solid forest floor, panting. Glindrell from climbing, Slifania from holding on to the makeshift rope to ensure Glindrell didn't fall back down.
See?
Slifania stated, out of breath.
Huh?
Glindrell grunted in response.
I came back for you after all,
Slifania exclaimed, and they were both rocked with laughter. Underneath the two laughing verters, in the darkness of the cave, something laughed back. The next day, as promised, the two friends met up at their secret hole in the ground. This time, however, Glindrell was more prepared, having brought two canteens of spring water and a sturdy rope, which was promptly tied to a close and large tree, so there would be no issues getting out again. Slifania, to her credit, also contributed, having an expensive-looking fire lantern and a backpack filled with sweetbread and honey cakes. Glindrell offered her a ready smile, genuinely pleased to be spending another day with his newfound friend. A flash of guilt passed through him at the thought that his friend Alexius wasn't with them, yet it was only a flash, and then a possessive wave of jealousy swept Glindrell. Slifania was his friend, and this was their secret hole, something nobody else knew about, not his parent, his best friend, nobody. It was a secret, and shared between just the two of them. At that moment, Glindrell's whole world was the hole and Slifania, and nothing else mattered. Glindrell smiled at the thought of that.
Something funny?
Slifania asked incredulously. Just taking in your visage. You really look the part now, don't you? A regular dungeon adventurer, just like Mace and Trollslayer, Glindrell explained, deflecting the true reason for his smile.
Who is Mace and Trollslayer?
Asked Slifania.
only one of the most famous dwarven dungeoneers, a legend. Even if his inventions never worked, I swear he must have thought he was a gnome, Glindrell explained. Slifania did look the part, though. Hair tied back into a ponytail, and with her backpack, breeches, boots, and knife at her belt, she looked ready to take on an ogreling, that being a newborn ogre, generally bigger than Glindrell and Slifania combined. Okay, we should get going, Glindrell stated, and started to climb down the rope. At the bottom, he steadied it, and in short order, Slifania was also down. Lighting the lantern, the fire oil spread shadows dancing across the walls like some twisted puppet show. The cave was much bigger than they first anticipated, heading off for at least 20 feet. Where they stood was somewhat of a mound, sloping downward after 5 feet. Given the dimensions of the cave, it became almost a tunnel as the pair cautiously crept forward. Glindrell realized that Slifania had a knife on her belt, but Glindrell had nothing. Mixed emotions washed through him like seawater through a rock cleft. What if they got into trouble? Would she have to get them both out of it? This made him feel somewhat insecure and inferior. Glindrell should be the one protecting her, not the other way around. Perhaps due to a sense of elvenhood, he needed to feel like the protector. Glindrell couldn't be sure. In desperation, Glindrell bent down and grabbed a handful of stones, which he pocketed. He could at least throw them, and besides, he had always excelled at his archery lessons at the age of 10, his tutors always praising him for his accuracy. Slifania hadn't noticed Glindrell bend down, as she was slightly ahead of him, since she had the lantern, but it was something else as well, something Glindrell noticed in her eyes. Something he hadn't seen there before. Slifania, what is it? Glindrell asked, the cold hand of fear jabbing at his heart.
Look, Lynn, a skull!
Slifania breathed. Glindrell looked and saw what appeared to be some kind of altar at the end of the cave wall. Glindrell glanced back and could see the sunlight streaming in from the hole, and it looked to be about 50 feet away now. Had they really come that far? The sunlight called to Glindrell, radiant, pure, and good. Glindrell felt an overwhelming urge to drop everything and run as fast as he could. Turning back to Slifania, the words caught in his throat as he saw that she had moved right up to the altar, which now, upon closer examination, emanated a coldness and what could only be described as unfathomable evil. Slifania had her free hand stretched out, almost touching the skull.
Slif, don't! Glindrell croaked.
But it was too late. She had already touched the skull. A force, unseen, blasted back both of them, sprawling to the dirt floor. Glindrell felt as though all breath had left his body, yet he could still somehow breathe. Yet it felt as if all joy and heat had been sucked from the cave. An apparition appeared before the two of them, what appeared to be some kind of ghost or spirit. It was there, but it wasn't, glowing iridescent blue, and Glindrell could see right through it. Could this be one of those revenants that his father always warned him about? The so-called undead warlords? It began to speak, but Glindrell could not see its mouth moving, and it seemed to be only addressing Slifania.
You have freed me, Slifania. I have spent an eternity trapped down here, and all it took was a touch from you. For that, I thank you. You deserve something special, a reward as such.
Glindrell didn't move, not a muscle. The fear gripping him was overpowering and all-consuming. Slifania was as if transfixed. Tears started to flow down Glindrell's face as the enormity and fear factor set in. This was an innocent elfin girl, and he needed to do something fast. The spirit continued to mind-speak. Glyndrul willed his hands to move towards the stones in his pocket.
So, what should I reward you with? Well, firstly, you both get to live. That to some is reward enough. Yet, I sense something in you, Slafania. A darkness that you hide well. Perhaps there is further potential in you. Take my tome. Study it, learn from it, and I will return. When the time is right, you will be ready.
The next few moments were a blur. The apparition, which appeared to be some kind of ancient skeletal wizard, opened its decayed mouth and started to scream. The screaming continued and increased in loudness. Glyndrul put his hands over his ears and closed his eyes tight. The screaming continued. Glyndrul felt a familiar hand on his arm, which made him realize that it was he that was screaming. Slowly opening his eyes, he saw Slafania crouched over him, clutching a large book bound with gold runes and filigree, the cover purple in color, and the pages gold trimmed, her other arm stretched out, touching him gently.
"Slif, where did you get that?" Glyndrul stammered, his throat hoarse from screaming.
"It was on the altar. Cool, isn't it? Now I have some treasure of my own, too."
Slafania smiled, and to all intents, didn't seem to be affected by the spirit encounter, and there was no mention of it at all. Glyndrul was still recovering, and let it slide for now, getting to his feet and glancing back towards the altar. Nothing appeared to have changed, except that the skull had disappeared. Glyndrul would have to talk to her about what happened, but another time might be more appropriate. Letting her go first, Glyndrul couldn't help but notice she clutched the tome tight and seemed inseparable from it. Even when Glyndrul offered to hold onto it while she climbed out, an uncharacteristic flash of anger and outright refusal stopped Glyndrul from any further offers of help. Finally out of the hole, Glyndrul was starting to really regret ever bringing her this way and finding this hole. Of all the places to walk, for the ground to give way there. Even that seemed somewhat unnatural. It wasn't fun anymore. No more child's games here. Glyndrul desperately wanted to spend some time with Alexius, just to be away from Slafania for a while. Glyndrul couldn't explain it. It just seemed as though a change had come over her. Not a change for the better, either. Glyndrul eyed the mysterious tome suspiciously. "So what is that thing anyway? What's the book about?" Glyndrul pried.
"Oh, nothing important, I'm sure. I'm off home then, okay? I'll see you soon. Safe travels,"
Slafania stated abruptly, and with that, she was gone, into the forest.
"See you soon then," Glyndrul whispered in reply, after she had left, which she wouldn't have heard.
Glyndrul couldn't explain why, yet there was a feeling of cold dread building up in the pit of his stomach. Glyndrul was very frightened for his friend. Very frightened indeed. To be continued.
Echoes.
Echoes.
Echoes. From the Caverns is brought to you by Lord Baldrith, Asclepius, and Sir Style Teckle. Do you have a piece that you'd like us to read? Please contact us at lordbaldrith@thecaverns.net, Asclepius@thecaverns.net, or style@thecaverns.net.